Welcome back. It will be a very interesting topic today, moving from church to Christ. Pastor Moses, please. You're always emphasizing.
That's right.
No, come to Christ and not to church. No, at times it even seems as if you're even condemning churches, organization and things like that. So please, sir, what do you mean? What exactly do you mean when you say we should come from church to Christ?
You see, it's a very interesting question and very interesting topic too.
Okay.
And I pray that somebody will catch a revelation from what we are saying.
Hallelujah.
And know, where salvation really is. The Christian faith has been misrepresented as far as I know. I can see, I can analyze. I am a Christian too. And it's something that has bothered practical believers like us.
Okay.
The church must not be reduced to what it is today about political parties in maybe democracy during electionary campaigns.
Yes, sir.
Where people pride themselves about the party they belong
to. That's
we
true.
Have the ruling party, we have the opposition.
Opposition.
The major party, you are the minor one, you are the recognized or unrecognized, you are the opposition, you are this. You know, now you see that setting also in the church. Now you discover that a lot of Christians today, when you ask, this is how you identify them, you know, in two ways, this is how we identify them.
Yes, sir.
Are you a Christian? He will tell you, I am bride, as them. I am Catholic. And they say with pride, I am choosing, I am redeemed, I am assemblies, you know. And you hear me saying several times, there is no bride assembly church in heaven.
Heaven.
Wow.
And neither is bride assembly church the gateway to heaven. There is no church, no redeemed, no choosing, no Anglican, no Trem, no Baptist, Coquin, Equa, name all of them. No church. That is why I started with Bride Assembly Church, so that people will not say I'm condemning anybody. But the truth is, I'm condemning you because you are wrong.
Wow.
That is one identification of people who have left Christ and they have gone to church for salvation.
Wow.
Now, do you know how you identify them again? Is when I want to preach, knowing that they will always listen to you from the filter of the church they belong. No matter how you show them the Bible, they will never listen to you except it is the same thing their church is preaching. Whether it is right or wrong, they don't know. As far as it is their church, they are right. You know, it's the same thing. So those of us who are ministers, evangelists like us, so if I want to minister to somebody I have seen, like Apostle Paul, okay? Apostle Paul, when he saw in Acts 19, when he saw, for the purpose of this discussion, maybe let's read it. Acts 19, verse 1.
Acts chapter 19 from verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, verse 2, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.
Why did he first ask by saying, have you received the Holy Ghost? Do you understand?
That's true.
There was something he saw. You know, so the same thing also, you know, he wanted to evangelize to them.
Yeah.
So you see the approach he used. The same thing, somebody like me, and I'm sure you too, those of you who go out in evangelizing your offices and places. Yes. The first thing I want to ask is, which church do you belong? Which church do you attend? So that I will know whether you are a Trinitarian.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
I will know because there are churches that worship their pastors. So I will know whether you are Catholic. Where you come from will determine how well I will approach the presentation of the gospel to you. Because people, instead of lifting up Jesus, they are lifting up their pastor. They are lifting up their church. That was why I preached the message, idolatry in the church.
That's true, sir.
You can abuse, make caricature of Jesus anyhow. Like those carnal people that will bring
comedians
into the church to make caricature of the name of Jesus. As long as you are using Jesus to make that caricature, no problem. But you try, that same comedian, try to mess up with their idol, their pastor. Then you will see what they will do to you, even while the service is on.
Wow.
So this topic is timely. That is why there is a need for us to tell the believers, you are going to church instead of coming to Christ. That's why I always say, come to Christ, not to church.
Wow. Sir, are you saying the church you attend does not affect your salvation?
Of course, the church you attend, because faith comes by hearing.
Okay.
Revelation comes by hearing. Faith there, not faith to make this cup move and make you receive healing and the deliverance. Faith there is a revelation. By faith, Hebrews 11:4.
Yes, sir.
By faith. By faith. By faith. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than
Cain.
By faith, that is by revelation. That without the shedding of blood, no remission of sin. He knew it. So, yes, it can affect, because remember, the tree, the two trees in the Garden of Eden, they are sources of hearing something.
That's right.
You hear from a false teacher. You hear from a false teacher, you will be built on error. And you hear from a preacher of truth, you will be built on a rock. Christ says so. That nothing can move it. So, yes, there are two ways that you follow. There are ministers that God uses. But I'm saying that Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So you can easily know if it is Christ you are looking for. When you get to a place, then you there will be a standard by which you judge to know whether these people are even in Christ or not. So yes, where you worship can affect your eternal destination.
Okay.
This will bring me to a question, Braulio. Sir, can you still be in a right place and still worship wrongly? You are in a right place, receiving from a right servant of God.
Yes.
And yet you are doing things wrongly.
That means you are not taking heed to what you are hearing. And there are people like that. You just want to take heed. Because even the Bible says, I think it's James or John, he said that we should be not only be hearers of God's word.
Yes, sir.
Just like there was a prophecy also in the Old Testament. I think Jeremiah that said it, that these people are worship with their mouth, but their heart
is far from me,
says the Lord.
Okay. Sir, this is interesting.
Yeah,
and thank you for that question. You can be in the right atmosphere, and yet you are worshiping wrongly.
Yes. Salvation is not about the atmosphere you worship.
Say it again, sir.
I repeat. Salvation is not about the atmosphere you worship. Physical atmosphere. It's not about the physical atmosphere you worship.
Okay.
That is why when people kill themselves with building church auditorium, until the pastor want to have hypertension, as if it is an achievement that you have a beautiful, a big place of worship. We want to have the biggest auditorium. You should just have it big enough that can contain the anticipated number of people. Nothing bad about that. But it is, if it is something for glorying in, it has nothing to do with your salvation. God did not send us to go and build any church building. Therefore, church building is never adding anything to your crown.
But he said, I will build my church.
He said, I will build my church. Is it this Brand Assembly church building he's talking about? It's a spiritual thing. The Church of Jesus Christ is spiritual, not physical. It's not a, an address in anywhere. Until the people get it, even ministers, and they will know what is a successful ministry. When we dedicated our auditorium that took us 7 years to build in December.
That's right, sir.
Late December 2019. And one of the journalists that came from one of these newspapers, he came to interview me and said, I must be feeling very fulfilled now. That was his question. I'm sure you're feeling very fulfilled now that you have dedicated your church. And I quickly stopped and I said, excuse me. Are you talking of fulfillment? If you're talking of fulfillment in the sense that now rain will fall and it will not beat us as it used to do before. Oh, of course, we are very happy that we have a place and a comfortable place to worship, better than ever before. I said, but what brings fulfillment to a minister, to a pastor, is not a church building, it's the number of souls I have won.
Amen.
So I have no fulfillment yet because among the people gathering in Brand Assembly, there are still a lot of Kana people there. So no fulfillment yet. The man was looking at me, telling a journalist, and he was surprised I was talking like that. I said, don't you want me to tell you the truth? Am I a political party? I'm judging myself now. I said, I have a lot of work to do. There is still a lot of carnality in Brand Assembly Church. So no fulfillment yet until I see an improvement
okay.
in the spiritual life of the people.
Can we take you further or deeper in this particular statement? Solomon's temple, Braulu, was built in 7 years. Solomon's temple was dedicated for service and the glory of God came down.
Yes.
So that particular auditorium had the atmosphere of glory. And people had an experience in that atmosphere. So are you saying, sir, that there's
Let me tell you why people had... why people
experience God
there. Listen, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12.
Okay.
Let's go to the building first of Solomon's temple. That is let's go to the book of First Kings. Let's go to, there is a statement that Solomon made there. Now, let's read it. First Kings chapter 8 from verse 12.
First Kings 8 from verse 12. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that I would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever.
Again.
I have surely built thee an house to dwell in.
He has
surely
built a place for him to dwell in. Okay.
A settled place for thee to abide in forever.
A settled place for God to abide in forever. Go to verse 26.
Verse 26. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou speakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth?
Now, see the question. But will God indeed dwell on the earth?
Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded?
Go on.
Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servants and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayed before thee today.
Go on.
That thy eyes may be opened towards this house night and day, even towards the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there.
Again, read it again.
That thy eyes may be opened towards
that's
this house
29.
Night and day. Even toward the place of which thou hast said.
Even the place which thou hast said what?
My name shall be there.
My name shall be there.
That thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servants make towards this place.
So Solomon's temple is God's dwelling place. And the evidence that is God's dwelling place is because his name is placed there.
Okay.
Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10.
But when ye go over Jordan.
Now, listen very carefully. We'll read it up to maybe verse 14. Yes.
But when ye go over Jordan, yes, and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, uh-huh, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, uh-huh, so that ye dwell in safety,
yes,
then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall
when
choose.
When you reach your promised land, there shall be a place
which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there.
He will choose a place where he will put his name there.
Thither ye shall bring all that I command you.
Only there you will bring all your offerings. Go ahead.
Your burnt offerings, yes, and your sacrifices, yes, your tithes and the eve offering of your hand,
uh-huh,
and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters, and your men servant and your maid servant.
That's only place you will rejoice.
And the Levite that is within your gates. Mm-hmm. For as much as he hath no partner in your inheritance with you,
uh-huh,
take heed to thyself.
Take heed to thyself
that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest.
It's not anywhere you will go and offer your sacrifice, your worship to him.
But in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee.
Now, therefore, if the only place
yes, sir,
that God will accept the worship of his people, the only place will be that place that he by himself has chosen to place his name there. He did not place his name in Brother Assembly Church.
So are you saying
he did not place his name in Assemblies of God? He didn't place his name in Catholic. In fact, his name is not Catholic. His name is not Bride Assembly, his name is not Choosing, his name is not Trend, his name is not Redeemed, his name is not Equa, his name is not ERCC. His name, where he has chosen to place his name, that is the only place God will meet with you. So can you see now why you are wasting your time killing yourself about your pastor and your church? Gabriel.
So this is becoming a little
so the question now is you have to understand it, you know, that when did he put his name in the temple of Solomon?
Exactly.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
It was through the ark. So that you will understand. It is not the beauty of the building. Wow. It is not the construction of the building. But because that building, the glory didn't come down until the ark was put there.
So we'll take a short break.
You better tell me.
We'll go on a short break. It was getting difficult for me to understand, but now I think I'm digesting it. We'll be right back after this short break.